At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. And we're here to talk tonight about the acquisition of Eddie Jackson made today. And that's Friday, the 19th of July, addresses the Ravens' safety concern, their need for a split field safety, at least in terms of his position with the Bears. He was a free safety there for years. He will turn 30 in December. So we're not talking about a young player. I'm sorry. He turned 30 already in December. He'll turn 31 this December. People may have heard he had a Lisfranc injury recently, like 2022. He's lost some speed, but honestly, he wasn't a very good player in 20 or 21 either. Had a good year in 22. And I want to go over a little bit of the bad news regarding to his play for the last 4 years, because I think it's easier to start with that. And I don't want people to get the idea that this is not a possible solution at all, because that's not how I look at it. But this is a place where I think we need to be realistic about our expectations about a player like Eddie Jackson. So in the last four seasons in total, he's been targeted 100 times, given up 998 yards. That's 10.0 yards per target. That's quite bad for a safety. By comparison, the Ravens safeties this last year, Marcus Williams was at 7.0 yards per target. Geno Stone, 4.7 yards per target. Hamilton, 4.3 yards per target. That was a terrific number. And Worley, in very limited playing time, only 21 yards on six targets, is 3.5 yards per target. So I think you've heard me mention his name as a guy I'd like to have the Ravens get back. But anyway, I still feel that way. I think that Eddie Jackson is not necessarily the only solution to this problem. So, you know, those safeties for the Ravens last year were the glue that helped the cornerbacks hold it together. So the Ravens played obviously a lot of too high shell to start with. They rotated out of that. They played matchup zone. They played some robber coverages. They did all kinds of things that were different from that. But basically, having too high safeties at the start of the play does a couple of things. It encourages the run and it discourages the deep pass, particularly from quarterbacks without extremely strong arms. In the division, I'm looking at you, Joe Burrow. He's the one who he's very frightened to throw the ball deep against the Ravens, and he should be. In that first game in Baltimore, he was 0-for-7, throwing the ball 15-plus yards, and included an interception from Geno Stone. So, obviously, he's a guy who we've seen the Bengals play that to-the-outside offense, a lot of wide receiver screens, and of course, once you start doing that, then you bring Hamilton into the ball game, and you see just how effective he can be as a horizontal defender doing that. So those safeties, absolutely critical. If the Ravens want to try and replicate some of their success from last year, you know, they were looking at some guys in OTAs, and I think basically the Ravens decided they were not get it done. So they had Sanusi Kane, is my understanding. They had him some on the back end just because he's a draft pick. Bo Braid is actually hurt, so he didn't really see any time in this offseason training so far. They had Jordan Tolles, who is the LSU bounce back who ended up at Morgan State for his final 2 years. Excuse me. So anyway, getting back to Jackson for a second, in addition to the poor yards per target of the last 4 years combined, he's got a career missed tackle rate of 14.5%. Now, that uses the PFF missed tackle numbers, and I have to explain that. Also, by the way, the previous stuff used the PFF target numbers. That matters because people assign targets differently. And one of the things is that PFF assigns many fewer targets to safeties. They typically charge linebackers on throws between level two and level three. So they usually charge a linebacker for a target on a successful play action pass where a linebacker takes a read step and overcommits. And then the tight end gets behind in between level two and three. So a lot of the very productive passes in play action are actually missed and not given to the safety. Missed tackles is also important because PFF has gotten more tough in their grading standard for missed tackles over the last few years. And I've been noticing the missed tackle rates going up and whatnot. And at safety, you can certainly see that. So his career rate of 14.5% was done under varying standards, including some that were looser up to, you know, back to as far as 2017 when he came into the league. But I'm compared it to 2023 to see where he would fit in percentile wise with that missed tackle rate. And it's about the 32nd percentile. So well below average as a tackler. But if I then extended that to look at where he would have been for the previous years, he'd been 22nd out of 93. So, you know, 23rd percentile, 24th percentile, something like that. 28th out of 98 in 2021 and 26th out of 97 in 2020. So it actually, he would have been about 5 percentage points worse in terms of his spot. I'm not saying it's a huge deal that he'd been the 27th percentile of tacklers as opposed to the 32nd, because neither is good. But, you know, he's not the ideal guy for defending the run as the last line of defense or defending the pass as the last line of defense at this point in his career. And I don't think we can expect a big uptick in his play because of him covering or improving athletically in some way. I don't see that as a reasonable alternative at age 30. What is reasonable is that he comes to a better structure in Baltimore and plays better because of that. And I think that's the bet that the Ravens are making here with regard to Eddie Jackson. So, you know, they think that he can play that split field role, essentially not have the single high role nearly as often, if at all, because Marcus Williams basically doesn't come down in the box much at all these days. The scary thing is that Eddie Jackson would probably be Marcus Williams' replacement if anything happens to him, and Marcus Williams has missed some time in the last 2 years. So we certainly wouldn't want that to happen. And I think that's one of the reasons why I don't really believe that he should be the only guy that the Ravens have in reserve when you're trying to have two deep safeties. It does give the Ravens the opportunity, of course, to keep Kyle Hamilton up closer to the line of scrimmage, where he was tremendously effective last year. So having his value as a horizontal defender who takes away the wide receiver screen passes and whatnot, extremely valuable. And the Ravens want to have that option. There'll be plays when he plays deep. There'll be plays where the Ravens only have four defensive backs on the field and he's in a deep role, for example. But when they have five on the field and it's not a regular nickel, meaning it's a big nickel, then three safeties and two corners is what I mean by that. Then I expect Hamilton to be back in the role that he excelled at last year, playing a lot of opposite a split receiver, whether that's a tight end, a big slot, whatever it might be. And oftentimes on a non-obvious passing down to give the team a lot of additional advantage in terms of their tackling close to the line of scrimmage. So Jackson gives you that, and not forcing Hamilton to the back end means Jackson doesn't have to be great in order to provide value to the Ravens. He could be below the league average slightly, but the Ravens had two significantly above the league average players last year, even with Marcus Williams tackling problems. Geno Stone on the back end really put a lot of fear in opposing quarterbacks with all his picks last year. And
didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Marcus Williams is still a dangerous back-end defender who does a lot of things well in terms of being in position. And I think that those two clearly improved the level of cornerback play underneath. I thought it was a very average cornerback group. Humphrey had a down year, lots of injuries, of course. Mollett in the slot is nothing special. Hamilton in the slot was something special. But then you had Brandon Stevens on the outside playing his first significant amount of playing time at corner, played basically every snap at right corner for the Ravens. And then you had a combination of guys, with Darby being the most significant, who ended up being, I think, fifth in the entire league of players with 300 plus targets in terms of yards per target. He was over a little over five, but that was terrific. Ronald Darby had also been a guy who'd been over 10 previously in his career at that position. So I think he owes a lot to the combination of Hamilton's horizontal play, really shutting down some plays on his side of the field, but also in terms of the safeties over the top, whether it was Stone or Williams on that side, really helping him in order to shut plays down. So Darby was really a beneficiary of circumstance. The Ravens will want that, whether it's Wiggins there or whether it's Humphrey there this next season, or Humphrey may obviously play a fair amount of slot as well. But, regardless of who your corners is, whether they're great or whether they're just average, you still want to have them have good safety help. That gives you a lot of options in terms of how you want to take away routes if you have players who know how to play that split field role well. Now, getting back to Jackson for a second, he's a guy with outstanding second man to the ball skills. Lots of forced fumbles. In fact, sometimes he's been accused in Chicago of playing the ball rather than playing the receiver or the runner. So he's been a guy who's tried to punch the ball free fairly regularly, tried to be a guy who undercuts for interceptions at some risk, as you know, we had Marcus Peters, so you know what gamblers are and whatnot in terms of the secondary. So he's a guy who I think will provide the Ravens some good turnover playmaking, hopefully not at the expense of good structure that enhances the value of the cornerbacks that they have on this team. So I think that'll be the key for getting value out of Eddie Jackson here. Now, if we look back only two seasons, the Ravens acquired a player from the Chicago Bears in Roquan Smith, who had not been nearly as great a player for the Bears as he became with the Ravens. I've commented on this show on that many times, but Roquan immediately became a much better player and has been all pro now 2 years in a row. In the Ravens system, where he had been good, but not that good. Now, the problem with extending that to Jackson is twofold. Number one, Roquan was starting at a much higher base level than Jackson was. Roquan is a better player in any kind of reasonable relative sense than Jackson was with the Bears the last 4 years, say. So the other problem is that Roquan was 25 and Jackson is now 30. And they're making the move to the Ravens at this point. It's better structure. I think that Orr will learn to play with Jackson's limitations and learn to play, have Jackson succeed, or play Jackson, put Jackson in positions to succeed, I should say, and hopefully put the corners in continued position to benefit from having that too high safety look. I am a little concerned about it in terms of run defense, but the Ravens had problems at that spot in terms of split field safety tackling last year, with Geno Stone having a tough year, particularly as the year wore on. He had some terrific difficulties tackling, and that was one of the few weaknesses, I'll call it, on the 2023 Ravens defense. So Jackson's an interesting addition. He can be below the league average and still be significantly above who the other choices are at that position, whether it was Kane or Darius Washington, Tolles or Darius Washington. I think he may or may not have the instincts to play that position, but he clearly doesn't have the size to play it in terms of his tackling. Sanusi Kane, I think there were all kinds of issues in terms of his college play at Purdue, in terms of being good enough there, where quarterbacks make a lot of mistakes. They tend to have much weaker arms, and you should be a lot better at the college level. Jordan Toles is a guy who went to LSU for 2 years, didn't really play there much, and then came back and played at Morgan State. Don't know a lot about him. I am hopeful. He's certainly a guy I'm interested in looking at camp and in the grades that I give out for those preseason games. Jordan Toles is going to be one of the guys really needs to avoid injury. We need to see in the second half of those games what he's got in the tank. So he might be a guy who certainly makes a team. What else to say about him? I think the move, if I'm looking at another macro level effect, it pretty much shuts the door on moving Marlon to safety in whole or part for 2024. I guess it could still happen if there's injuries that occur, but I wouldn't expect the Ravens to move all of this. I think the move in general is effectively a zero cost gamble. And here's why. And I'm making some assumptions here because we don't know the contract details yet. I assume this contract is for the vet minimum. I wouldn't see any reason to pay more than that for Eddie Jackson at this point in his career. I assume there is no guaranteed money. Again, every guaranteed dollar is a potential dollar lost if you have to cut the guy before the season starts. And I think that he's not a sure thing to make the team. I think this is a signing in line with Shane Ray, I think it was. Who was the guy? Ray, the pass rusher who the Ravens brought in several years ago and didn't end up making the team. And that's the way it works out sometimes. We'll get to know fairly quickly whether or not Eddie Jackson has something left. We'll see it in the preseason, and we should see it in training camp as well. So hopefully it gives us a good idea of is he adapting the Raven system? Is he staying in position? Does he look like he can help and be a player that won't be as good necessarily as Geno Stone was last year? I think that'd be a very high bar, but would be a player who can continue to maintain the fear of two deep safeties in opposing quarterbacks and limit their route choices coming out of that. And also probably force some teams to try and stay with the run for longer than they might otherwise do, given how they line up. All right, so that's it for my report on Eddie Jackson. I want to remind people that coming up this week, in fact, on Sunday, the 21st is the first day of training camp. I'll be doing camp reports on a regular basis. I will do them almost every single day. I'll be there all but 1 to 2 days at camp, and I'll look for those. They should be 30 minutes or so, and they should be up the day of the practice late in the day. So if you're looking for your favorite podcast platforms, take a look there. I would also recommend, if you're watching on YouTube or listening on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. This is the way to easily get these pods on a regular basis. I'll talk to you later on Film Study.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.